Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm Beth Murray, and this is One Torn Every Minute, the podcast where we talk about giving birth. Today, I'm joined by the dazzling writer and performer, Isabel Fay. We'll start by asking you how many children you have.
I have 2 children.
And when were they born?
I know, I always get panicked that I'm going to forget their birthdays.
This would be bad. It would be a bad start. Can you remember their names?
Yes. No, I say their names constantly in an angry voice. But I'm really scared that I'm going to forget what years they're born. 2014 and 2017. No, that's... Is that right? Yeah, no, that is right.
I don't know. I'm going to have to take your word for it.
They're 5 and 2.
Lovely, lovely. So, you know, the memory is not gone and not forgotten.
Never.
So these children whose years you don't know they were born, on this podcast I do something which is faintly awkward, and I ask you to choose your favourite child. And by that I mean, which birth really strikes you?
Well, Spike's birth, my older son, his birth was... I mean, they were both elective caesareans. Mm-hmm. Elective is quite misleading because it sounds like you wanted it. But yes. it just means that it was planned in advance.
I mean, some afternoons I'm in town, I just feel like having a caesarean.
Just pop in for a caesarean.
Quick caesarean.
Yeah.
Sew myself up.
But Spike's, the older one, his was a breeze, actually.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was lovely. When I remember it... I might have been high, but there were like cartoon bluebirds flying overhead. I'm definitely high. And it was just lovely. Like, it was a Monday morning. The sun was streaming through the operating theatre window. Everyone was in a good mood. It went smoothly. It was lovely.
I do have another friend who had a caesarean second time around, and she describes it in much the same way. And in fact, almost like a kind of spa treatment.
Yes.
That it was supremely relaxing.
Yes.
And everyone was very friendly.
It's really, I mean, it's like being at a party where you're just naked on a table. But everyone's
I've
in a
been
really...
to parties like that.
Pre-kids. Or post. But it can be a really nice, jolly, happy experience. Or it can be my other birth.
Yeah, now I don't want to piss on your parade here with Spike's birth, but that second one is the one I'm interested in.
Yeah, Lenny.
Yeah. Oh.
So he was also an elective caesarean, but it just was a very different experience.
Because you'd think, second time round, you know, you're an old hand now.
Yeah. We were cocky. We swaggered into that place going... Bring on the cartoon bluebirds. This is going to be great.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to backtrack here. So, it's second time round. You're old hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you got to full term?
Yeah. Both of them were born at like 39 plus 4, I think. Both
perfect,
of them.
Perfect.
Yeah, bang on.
So it's all looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I had somebody the other day who was going to have a caesarean and then started to go into labour before...
Yeah, I did have some mild contractions with the first one, but then I was like, how far do we have to go before we have to push it back in and then do the caesarean?
Because that's what you don't want. You don't want it to go too far
and then
miss out on your opportunity.
But no, both of them were just bang on. Ripe,
so you're
but
feeling
not overripe.
Good. I like this as a narrative arc because we're feeling really good.
Yeah.
Everything's going well.
Yeah, my parents had come to look after my older one. And
perfect.
He knew he was going to meet his brother that day. He was coming into the hospital later. Aww. I mean, we were so cocky. We were like, see you at 4 o'clock with your new brother.
You set yourselves up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Right. Massively, massively. And we'd been told that basically it's like, it's a bit of a queuing system. So you the sooner you turn up in the morning, it's like taking a ticket in Clark's shoes.
Right, yeah.
If you turn up, you take your number and you wait for your cesarean. And that had worked the first time around. We'd been slightly early. We'd been, prepared. First in the queue, just got in there.
So there's no kind of triage with it. Who's first?
Well, it turns out that there absolutely is.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So we've got to the nub of the matter.
I had that completely wrong. It is not like Clark's shoes at all. swaggered in, took my ticket sort of thing. Got into, for a cesarean, you wear just green surgical stockings and a gown. It's very attractive.
Sexy. It is, yes. Like a party then.
Yes. And what parties do you go to?
They were wild.
Okay. wow, I've lost my train of thought from that image.
So you're in your weird panties.
Yeah. No panties. None. No, obviously. I mean, although you say obviously, but I was surprised both times by how low down it happens. Cesarean.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But isn't that to sort of minimise scarring or something? Aren't they quite careful about that?
Yeah, I think, I've got a scar story later.
Ooh, can't wait.
So we were cocksure and early, before a cesarean, nil by mouth, and that includes water. And it was a heat wave. It's August.
Oh, God.
And we sat and waited, and we were put on a ward where there were women who were coming in with babies, which was a really weird place to have been put because we were... I've no idea where we were put.
I suppose
there.
It's sort of tantalisingly dangling the possibility. You could have this in a few hours.
Yes,
if exactly. We ever get to you.
And I was my husband and I talked about this birth last night because I just wanted to make sure I had it straight in my head. And I was saying, I remember the face of the man who was coming round with sandwiches. So remember, I've been nil by mouth since 5 in the morning, including water in a heat wave. And I'm on a hot ward surrounded by women with babies. And a man kept coming round with sandwiches going, do you want a sandwich? And cut a very long story short, I was waiting there until 3 p.m, still nil by mouth, including water.
Is that not massively unsafe for a pregnant woman not to drink any water?
It is. But I am scared that when I go back to the hospital, if I ever see that man, I will rip his fucking ass off. Because I wanted a sandwich so much.
Give me the fucking sandwich!
And I can see every detail of his face.
Did your husband take a sandwich?
No.
Oh, that is noble.
Oh, no. Yeah, but he wanted to live. He wanted to survive this experience.
No, it's just that I've heard a fair few stories of partners not covering themselves in glory during the birth process. Well. In quite an amusing way, but, like my husband, he'd have got the sandwich.
No.
Yeah, but he would have got the sandwich.
He wouldn't.
I think he would. We'll check.
Yeah, I think he would. I know it. Yeah, he would. My Tom would never dream of taking the sandwich.
Good on your Tom.
Because
that's
would kill him.
So you got to 3:30 and you hadn't had anything to eat
o'clock.
Or drink.
3 o'clock. I hadn't had anything to eat or drink. I distinctly remember around 1:30 starting to cry. And Tom going, oh, don't cry. And I was like, I want to cry so I can drink my tea.
I was going to say, you don't want to lose that valuable water.
Yeah, exactly. And I was licking the side of my face as the tears came down, going, oh, please, can I have some precious moisture?
Were you getting any updates as to why they weren't seeing you?
So they kept saying, there have been a couple of emergencies. So this is how it is not like Clark's or a cheese counter.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is no, there's no hurry to see us. There were other emergencies going on, obviously. So if someone needs an emergency section, you get pushed to the back of the queue, as it should be.
As it
I'm
should
not
be. But
complaining.
You are in danger of getting dehydrated at this point.
Yes.
So maybe you become an emergency.
I was begging for water at this point. Mm. And then I begged a little bit too much, and they were like, maybe you should go home and come back tomorrow. And I
didn't want to.
Oh, my God, I didn't want to do that.
It's like waiting for the dentist times a billion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. So I was very keen not to go home. Anyway, it was a knife edge. And then finally they came and said, right, you can go down. And it's a really weird thing. You walk down the stairs, and you have to take your own pillow because there's the NHS and they haven't got a spare pillow. So you take the pillow from your bed. You're walking down like with your pillow, not in labour, to go and have a baby. It's just a very strange thing.
Yes, that's
strange,
a really
thing.
Odd sensation.
But obviously I've been through it before, so I was swaggering. Yep. You know, click my heels a little bit. Yeah. Off to meet the baby. Woo! And walked into the operating theatre, which is always weird, walking into the operating theatre.
Yeah.
It is weird. And you see all the instruments.
And there's so many people gathered round.
Yes, there's about 20 people in the room.
You've got like an audience.
Yeah, yes, exactly that. Like your parties, yeah. Mm. and you walk in, and last time I walked in, and you know, they were like, "Hi, come on in, take a seat." Very convivial. This time we walked into the room and the atmosphere was crushing, and we both immediately knew, and didn't say it at the time, but have said to it each other since, something horrendous had just happened in that
God.
Room. And it was, yeah, like the hairs on my arm stood up. Something awful had just happened in that
room.
So from the outset, and like the cartoon bluebirds fell from the sky.
Yeah.
They were never coming.
You needed the drugs.
Yeah. So it was a weird atmosphere. And without any kind of preamble, the anaesthetist assistant said, "Sit there on the slab on the operating table," and he just started taking my gown off, and I was like, "Oh God, I'm not, this all feels wrong," and so I said, "Oh, I feel like I should know your name before you take my clothes off." Ha ha ha! I mean, like shit joke, but
that's
I just
trying
to
effort.
Lighten the mood, yeah. And he just stopped and stared into the middle distance and went, "Sean." And then just carried on taking my gown.
Yeah. Because usually they are really good at putting you at ease. I mean, yes. I remember my anaesthetist post-birth. I mean, I was ready to marry him. I loved him.
Yes. No,
and they're so good.
Yeah.
So for them not to have a bedside manner.
Well, I truly think it was whatever it just gone down in there. I don't know.
That's
but
so
the,
awful.
The and the actual anaesthetist, because that was the assistant, she was great but very austere, and you know, so her personality didn't bring a lot. Anyway, I'm asking too much that everyone's in a jolly mood. So, you know, it's fine. Do you know about the spinal injection?
Now, I assume it's like an epidural.
I don't know, because
what's
right. An epidural like?
You have one where you decide you're going to die in the middle of labour.
Yeah,
they put a big needle in the base of your spine.
Yes, that, yeah.
And often when you're in labour, you're in the middle of contractions.
Ooh, yeah.
So they do this thing where they say you've got to stay still, otherwise you'll get paralysed.
Yes, yes, which is such weird pressure. Yes,
because that doesn't relax you at all.
No.
And I assume that it's a kind of version of an epidural.
Yeah,
that
I think it is exactly that. She called it
like
a
really
spinal.
A spinal block?
I don't know.
But it must be the same kind
of
thing.
We are not medical doctors.
No.
That's
it was noted
really clear.
That we should have some sort of obstetrician or medical presence here to say, ladies, you are wrong in this case. But that would be boring. And we're having a party, so never. I think with epidurals, you can get kind of levels of numbness. And I assume, I really hope, that during a caesarean, you would get the full on.
Well, it's weird you say that, because in the first one, I felt like I didn't really feel anything other than, you know, when you have a tooth pulled out.
Yes.
You don't feel any pain, but you feel
the sensation.
You feel it coming out.
Yes.
You know, like
it
you feel the pulling,
hurt.
But no pain and no sense of hot or cold or, you know, it's a weird sensation. But the second time, after they'd done this, you know, Sean had done his thing.
Lovely, happy, cheery Sean.
had done the injection. You know, they lie you down. And then the anaesthetist, whose name, I don't want to say it because I don't want her to like, hear this. But I know all of their names, their full names. Because her name tag was right by my face for the whole thing.
You never forget
it. So anyway, she started pressing... I feel like it was a credit card. It can't have been. something sharp into
that
my tummy.
In America.
I know. Just insert that. On something weird, though. I wish I could remember what it was. Fuck it. For the purpose of this, it was
a credit card.
She starts pressing it on my tummy. She's like, can you feel that? Can you feel that? And I was like, I can definitely feel
it's
that.
It's a credit card.
I can feel all of that. I can feel your PIN number.
That is my real fear, because having had that same thing, you're really thinking, no, I need it. I need it to be numb. I need it to work. Let's check. Let's all check lots of times that it's worked.
Exactly. So I feel like it didn't work as well.
Mm.
So, and then in a cesarean, they just get down to it.
They get stuck
in.
And there's that sense of being polite that you don't want to kind of criticise their anaesthetist work. But on the other hand...
Yeah. I was saying, I can really feel that. I can definitely feel that. She was like, okay, well, you know, we'll see.
What, like it's going to kick in?
No. I mean, I really want to say, because I have now said her name out loud, she was amazing and is the actual saviour of this story. So let's not be too harsh on her. But I could feel it. And so I was freaking out a little bit, and she sprayed cold water on me. And I was like, yeah, that feels cold. But it did then, you know, start to take effect eventually. But I feel like they started before I was ready. I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't give you time to adjust.
No.
To the pleasing numbness that is an epidural.
Yeah. And again, so in a cesarean, they will go around the room and everyone will shout out their name from the team.
Why?
I think it's like, well, it's major surgery and this is what surgical teams do. Tom's best friend is, he trained as a brain surgeon. He's now a GP. But he trained as a brain surgeon and he has told me that there are only two operations that you're awake for. Two major surgeries that you can be awake for.
Right.
One of them is brain surgery, where they
do sedate you. Because they have to tell what they're doing. So they know they're not cutting off some...
Exactly. Yeah. So they can, like, say count to 10 and then they touch a bit. And if you say 1, 2, 7, they're like, whoa, not that
bit. Yeah, it's amazing.
But you are sort of sedated during that. And, like, people, I think, don't really remember it very well. But cesarean is the... it's major surgery and you are completely...
Why do they keep you awake for it?
So you can meet your baby, I think.
Is there part of you that just thinks, oh, I don't really care about meeting the baby. I'd rather just be blessedly oblivious.
No, because I'd had the perfect birth.
So you're still holding out for this?
Yeah.
The flying birds?
Yeah. I was still waiting for the moment where, in the first birth, when they pulled him out and held him up over the sheet. And
like a messiah.
It was like that bit in The Lion King. It was lovely.
Amazing.
Oh, and he cried. It was so glorious. So do you know about the sheet?
They set up a little
curtain so you can't see.
The horror of your stomach.
Yeah. And they clip up, they take your gown and just lift it up and use that as the curtain. So it's like, you're like in this permanent flashing situation.
I mean, I know you're past the point of caring at that stage, but it's so undignified.
It is, it really is. And the table tilts slightly backwards, so your feet
really
are slightly
exposed.
Elevated. So you're slightly upside down, which is the feeling of slightly upside down feels really exaggerated.
Yeah.
So you're like upside down with the gown clipped up, like you're flashing.
When I was sewn up after I tore, this is called one torn every minute, they put your feet up in stirrups. Oh. But of course, because you're numb, they have to hoik them up. Because there's no way you're moving.
Yeah, you can't.
And that is a similar situation that in stirrups, you know, you're providing quite the view to the assembled crowd.
Exactly, and it's always a crowd.
And it's a mess by then as well.
Yeah, total mess. I mean, with the first cesarean, I never saw much behind the gown. But with the second one, at one point someone stepped out and they were literally covered head to toe in my blood.
Oh.
And I remember looking
Jesus.
At them going, that's my blood. That's so weird. It's such a weird thing to see. Anyway.
You have to get yourself used to the idea that you have a lot of blood to use during birth. And that was something I found very hard to get my head around.
I know.
That you can lose loads. I did, and I still didn't have a transfusion.
No,
which means
here.
It's, you know, there's a lot
there's
to
loads.
Lose.
Yeah, masses.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out his wheelchair. About four of us... we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. Crime Club. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So you're kind of tipped up.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Nether regions flashing.
Yeah.
What end was Tom at? Was he at the head end or the...
Always.
Business end?
Always. I think when you've done something twice, you can say always. Always at the head end.
Yeah.
And we had pre-agreed that he wouldn't even glance the other side of the curtain because no. I didn't want to ever see his face looking at what was happening down there. Because I'm really, really squeamish. So this is something I should bring up. I'm really, really desperately squeamish and frightened of needles and blood and knives. And this is like, it's weird that I had such a good time the first time around because I am desperately scared of all these things. So what Tom does, we're going to sound mental. What Tom does to get me to stop thinking about it. Is he the first time he wrote a pub quiz for me to do?
Seriously?
During the, yeah.
Did it have a theme?
There were different themed rounds, and I was able to ask for categories. And I remember being on geography at Spike's birth and hearing a voice from the other side of the sheet that I knew to be my surgeon going, Battenberg, and it was the right answer. Anyway, so we've just...
What was the prize?
What's the prize?
Yeah. I mean, it's a baby, I know,
not
but...
Looking at not being tempted to look at the giant stainless steel light above that's above every
that
single...
That gives you
cesarean.
A mirror version of...
It's a mirror! It's a giant mirror.
There's kind of not much point in putting up the curtain if you can see into the mirror.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's the prize is focusing your mind on something, anything.
I like the pub quiz, and I think more people should consider that as an option.
Well, the first birth, they loved it. They loved it. The second birth, you can imagine the crushing atmosphere.
Sean's not impressed.
Sean's not into this at all. And Spike's like, in season 4 of Friends. Anyway, so I was like, start the quiz. I need to think about anything else. So he started the quiz. I can't remember any of the questions. I have no
That's
idea.
That's a shame.
I
should publish it.
He said he reckons I did quite well, but I think the questions were stacked in my favour.
Yeah.
Don't know. Anyway, so they started the operation before I felt ready. So I was like, go ahead, ask me a quiz question. And we hadn't explained this either, so we just launched into a
weird be mystifying.
General knowledge quiz.
Of all the odd things that has happened in the operating theatre, that's got to be right up there.
Yeah. I'll admit that was a curveball for them. But at any point, someone could have gone, what's she doing? No one did. Anyway, and then it goes really, really fast. So they cut through the first few layers of your skin. about an inch.
And so presumably, because somebody else described this to me as in the same sense, you can sense that they're doing something. And I think she described it as rummaging around in a washing up bowl.
Yeah. As they were cutting, I felt like I was being unzipped. It was a really weird kind of... Yeah, unzipped is the only way I can explain it.
But it didn't hurt?
It didn't... By that point, it didn't hurt much. But it did hurt a bit. No, I could feel it much more than I could with the first one.
Yeah.
So they were cutting into me. And then I said to the anaesthetist, I think I'm feeling something. And I was sort of starting to kind of shake at this point. Mm. Anyway, she topped up. She was top up. She gave a little top up of drugs. Top up. She topped me up. And then I started really, like, trembling. And immediately puked. But if you're slightly upside down, it's really hard to be sick.
Like and on your own face.
And don't forget, I've got nothing in there. Because I haven't had any water or any food.
It's just bile, basically.
So it's just bile. And then I discovered afterwards, the reason they make you not eat or drink is in case you're sick. But I would have given anything.
Oh. Because I nearly asked that. Why can't you have some water? You know, what's so wrong?
So I would have given anything to have something to bath, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I had bile going up my nose.
Because water's not that bad if it's sick, you know?
No. I would much rather... Anyway, wow.
So why were you shaking and sick? Is it because of the lack of food and drink?
I still don't know. I have no idea. But I was sort of convulsing and being sick into those... You know, like I can really like feel the sensation of those papier-mâché kind of kidney-shaped dish pressed against the side of my face as I'm like juddering. And Tom's saying, what's the capital of Finland? And then they tear through the last layer. And then I am still mystified, really, about what happened here. But suddenly everyone started using their emergency voices. And the atmosphere that was already pretty bad shifted again. And there was a lot of pulling. And actually, I was yanked around the table really quite a lot. I had no idea what was going on. And then suddenly, a man's head appeared over the top of that gown. Where my baby should have appeared was a man's head, and suddenly all the air was crushed out of me as I have no idea if he was kneeling on me or pushing...
To pull out the baby?
He was pushing down on the lower part of my ribs, and I think he was trying to push the baby downwards. So again, not a medical doctor, just going to point that out, but I believe what they do is they tear through the last layer of your uterus, put their hand in, grab onto the baby's head. I think your uterus contracts a bit, maybe
at that sensation at that
maybe, I don't know, again, not a medical doctor, but they pull the baby out. But it seems that the baby had slipped out of his hand somehow, or he just couldn't get a grip, right? And this man was on top of me, a different man whose name I don't know, was on top of me pushing and shoving, and all the air was crushed out of me. And Tom said he just remembers seeing my face, like, in I was in deep shock. And and then I think I felt like my whole body was yanked downwards, and then suddenly someone said, he's here, and there was silence, and I was like, where's that cry? But at that stage also still couldn't breathe, so I couldn't say anything, and this silence feels like it went on for forever. Of course it didn't. And when the baby is born by a cesarean, they take the baby straight to something that's horribly called a resuscitaire, which is like a sort of heat lamp that you put chicks under when they hatch. And they sort of rub them down.
And they check them out as well before they...
Exactly.
Because I guess it's more important that they check them than they give them to you.
Yeah.
Just in case it's a problem.
But the resuscitaire was... it might as well have been in a different country. It was so far away from me. And I didn't get a glimpse even of... They tried to hold him up, but it was still an emergency feeling. Mm. And they were like, no, get him to the resuscitator. And they rushed him over. And Tom looked at me. I was like, go with him. Go with him. I still couldn't breathe, you know, been crushed. And Tom rushed over. And I remember seeing him, like, bobbing around trying to see over all of these people's faces to see the baby. And I had no idea what was happening. And I turned to the anaesthetist and just went, all I could. And she just went, "Will you people please tell her what is going on?"
What a hero.
I love her. And at that moment, amazingly, Lenny responded by crying.
So he listened to her, even if they didn't.
Yeah. So, and he'd just taken a bit of time to get going. He'd just...
But I suppose, as you say, that felt like a lifetime to you, but probably was only a few seconds emergency and flurry and stress.
Maybe 30 seconds to a minute.
It's long enough, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, long enough that I had no idea what was happening.
And then Tom said, "What's the capital of Peru?"
And Lenny did not know the answer. What an idiot. this is all a bit hazy because I'm still trying to breathe at this point and I'm still vomiting bile into this thing and convulsing. Don't forget, I'm still convulsing. Weirdly convulsing. And I think it was Tom that brought him over to me. I really can't remember. And sort of plopped him onto my chest. It was enormous. It was quite a big baby. And I couldn't use my arms to hold him. And I was just convulsing. And again, I was sick. And I was going, "Can you just hold him there? and then it all just, I don't know. I can't remember. Because I then lost absolutely masses of blood, but didn't have a transfusion, like you say.
It's something to do with the iron levels, I think, that they judge it on not how much you've lost, but what remains of what you've got.
I think.
I think that's how they judged it for me, anyway. I'm not really, again, not a doctor, but I think it's something to do with that, because I know people who've lost less than me who've had transfusions. I think it's just depends on the case.
Well, they sort of pull the placenta out and sew you up, whatever. And then everyone in the room hoiks you from the table onto a trolley.
And get you out of there first.
And this is such an undignified experience I've been after all of this. Tom was holding Lenny and I really remember them going, like big, large men going, 1, 2, 3, to like hoik me over.
A lovely sound.
And then they took me into recovery, and there was this guy there. There was this, I want to say doctor, could have been a nurse, but he looked like that taxi driver who turned up on the BBC.
He wasn't supposed to be there.
He just didn't know what the fuck he was doing. So I was sort of there, still convulsing, but now not lying upside down at least. And Tom was sort of holding Lenny on me, and I was sort of convulsing a bit. But, you know, things had calmed down a bit. And I looked up at the monitor, and I remember my heartbeat being... I was like, is that my heartbeat? That's really weird. Something like 25 beats a minute. Is that low? I can't
really
remember.
Low. Yeah, because it's supposed to be something like 70 or 80, isn't it?
Right. I remember it being a weird number. 25 is not a weird number.
I'm intrigued
by
this because, quite rightly, everybody seemed very concerned about Lenny, but at no point does somebody seem to have said to you, "Listen, you're shaking. Maybe there's a problem here."
I think it's normal. I mean,
yes, that's the problem. It feels normal to them because they see it all the time, and much worse, as we are suspecting. Yeah. But you don't.
Yeah.
So, but it ought to be someone to explain that to you. You know, this seems bad to you, but trust me, you're run of the mill.
This is fine. Exactly. This is fine. Mm. And we said to this guy, is it meant to be that low? And he honestly gave us the face like that. BBC guy, like, shit.
Do you want a sandwich?
I don't know, sandwich? But weird that you should mention that on paper there's sort of this is normal. Because I went for a birth debrief afterwards.
Oh, yes.
And the obstetrician who did it was not the obstetrician who did either of my births. And she looked over it and she went, well, it's just normal. Everything was fine. And
really?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you hadn't had the first one, you might have bought that. You might have thought, God, well, it seemed awful to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, who am I to know? But you had the first one being so different. That suggests that it wasn't normal.
Yeah. And, you know, and I said, why would there be a man on top of me? Because no one ever explained it.
No.
You know, and you know, Tom saw this. There was a man on me. There was just a man on top of me. In my head, he had his knee in my chest because I was so crushed. But it could have been, you know, like the heels of his hands or... I have no idea. And she went, well, sometimes we need to use a bit of external manipulation to move the baby. It's probably just that. And it's, you know, and it probably was just that. It probably was. But it's just really interesting to see that how on paper these two births were exactly the
maybe
same.
Maybe the lesson is that she'd have looked at the notes from your first birth and gone, oh, my God. This is extraordinary.
Yeah, it was so good.
We never see anything this good.
The right song was playing. We never.
The stars were aligned.
We never do that right. No.
Yeah, maybe it's that way around.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a mystery, though, isn't it?
But then also, well, I feel like I couldn't have any comeback to this either, because then I also said, and another thing that I'm very annoyed about at my birth debrief, I'm very annoyed about this, is that you didn't use the same incision site.
Oh, yes.
And now I have two cesarean scars. And she was like, you don't. Like, in the notes it says we use this. And I said, famously I said, I can assure you I have two.
Couldn't you just show her?
And so I did. So I lay down on the bed, shimmied everything off, and she had a good look. And she went, right. Well, that there is your cesarean scar that we used twice. And that red line there is a fold of fat. And fold of fat is one of those phrases that comes back to me all the time.
And Tom said, you are right and you win the quiz.
Fold of fat. It's just, yeah. Yeah, so I couldn't then go, well, actually, I feel like the birth was there because I had not got
what a
cesarean
takeaway.
Star to stand on, you know?
You got a baby and
a fold of fat.
What more could you want?
It's like my name of my first album, Fold of Fat.
And the band.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, that's marvellous.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose, you know, there are lessons to be learnt from all of this, and God knows I don't know what they are. But looking back, if you were to go back in time and tell yourself something to make the process a little bit easier and more straightforward, what would be the thing that you would tell yourself?
God, drink the water, I think. Just drink the water.
But and I think, have the sandwich.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would change a lot because there's nothing I can really do. Eat the sandwich. Embrace the sandwich guy and just fuck it. Nothing bad would have, I would have loved to have puked up a sandwich. Would have given me something to do.
A tactical projectile vomit,
yes,
in the operating
exactly.
theatre. Would have been just what Sean needed.
Exactly. Oh, bless him, poor Sean. But I think also, from a cesarean point of view, I would say to myself, don't let people be mean to you. Because people are hot, like, kind of, everyone wants to know why did you have an elective cesarean and why, you know, and I did have a medical reason, but I've spent so long justifying it. And there's that phrase.
Why did you feel you needed to justify it?
Well, because people ask why, and then it's not really justifying, but I suppose you're answering the question, but I felt defensive, I think. And there's that hateful phrase, too posh to push, which is just the really, it's like the weirdest, whoever came up with that has a very strange concept of what is posh.
But isn't that for like those myths about, maybe they're not myths, about celebrities who have a cesarean like a month early so that they can get some fat sucked out of them. The roll of fat sucked out of them at the same time.
Even in that, they're still like having major surgery and having a baby.
You wouldn't choose to do that.
And there's never, like, we're not going to, you know, there's no posh woman out there going, oh, Kenneth, I think our drinks parties have become too boring. Let's have a fucking cesarean next year. So posh, you get the tassinger and I'll bring the scalpel. I mean, there's nothing fucking posh about it. It's really weird. There were no canapes.
No champagne. Not even water.
I don't know why Kenneth... Where's Kenneth come from?
Kenneth does sound like quite a posh name.
Anyway, sorry, that was a very weirdly long answer to your question. I think silence the critics, just ignore it. And drink the water, eat the sandwich.
Drink the water and eat the
sandwich. Hold the sandwich guy very close.
And I love that advice, but what I am going to do with it is I'm going to wrap it in the softest, lightest cashmere. Mm. And I'm going to sell it to a stranger on the dark web. Because when it comes to childbirth, we all have to do things our own way and not take any advice.
Amen.
Forge ahead. So thank you very much for that wonderful story.
Thank you.
And goodbye. Thanks for listening to One Torn Every Minute. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review us. See you next week.
GreatBigOwl.com. Ask the Nincompoops. It's the show where kids ask us the questions they want answered.
And we answer the questions that the kids ask.
Did bacon or pigs come first?
Bacon.
Bacon, are you not listening?
It couldn't be simpler.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh,
yeah. Your pants on fire, did you know that?
Hold on, my pants are on. Sorry, that's just pure coincidence. You haven't learned a thing.
Ask the Nincompoops.
Great Big Owl. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.